From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. Pro-Russian activists in eastern Ukraine say they will not postpone a referendum on independence planned for Sunday. The announcement comes one day after Russian President Vladimir Putin said the vote should be delayed in order to create the conditions necessary to establish a dialogue in Ukraine. Anya Ardayeva reports from Moscow.
Russian President Vladimir Putin said postponing a referendum in eastern Ukraine would create conditions for dialogue between the authorities in Kiev and the separatists. "We call on the representatives of southeastern Ukraine, the supporters of the federalization of the country, to postpone the referendum planned for May 11th," he said. Pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine demanded greater autonomy from Kiev and said they would hold a vote on independence. Putin also said Moscow had withdrawn its troops from the border with Ukraine. Putin's comments came after his meeting with the head of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. The security body said it would soon propose a roadmap to defuse a crisis in Ukraine.
South African President Jacob Zuma is celebrating a landslide victory by his ruling African National Congress in the country's general election. With 70% of the votes counted, the ANC enjoyed an unassailable lead, winning more than 62% of the vote. The opposition Democratic Alliance improved on its performance 5 years ago, taking one vote in five. Political analyst Zanusha Naido told South Africa's E! News channel that after the last vote is counted, the hard work will begin for the ANC.
At the end of the day, yes, they won. They got a resounding reaffirmation by the electorate. But at the end of the day, they have to deliver.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry met with the leader of Syria's main opposition umbrella group Thursday. Ahmed al-Jarba, president of the Syrian Opposition Coalition, is in the U.S. Capitol lobbying for anti-aircraft weapons to bolster the faltering revolt against President Bashar al-Assad. The United Nations Secretary General has said he's deeply concerned about the fate of 230 schoolgirls abducted in Nigeria. Ban Ki-moon and other UN officials are now calling on all parties involved to speed up the safe return of the students. Nick Harper reports from the UN headquarters in New York.
It's the first time Ban Ki-moon has commented officially on the abductions and the girls that have been missing for more than 3 weeks. He says he shares the anguish of the families of the girls and the people of Nigeria at this traumatic time. While the UN is not offering any material support, they are urging those involved to exert any influence they have to bring back the 230 girls kidnapped by Boko Haram militants. Top UN officials have also contacted the Nigerian government, asking it to redouble its efforts to secure the girls' release.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN. Shares in Barclays rose 8% in London trading after the British bank unveiled plans to cut around 20,000 jobs by the end of 2016. 9,000 of the jobs being cut are based in Britain, with 7,000 alone coming from the bank's troubled investment division. The bank's CEO, Anthony Jenkins, says the job losses will help rebalance the bank.
Regulation now means that a lot of activities just aren't economic anymore. And of course, the economy has affected certain aspects of investment banking. So regrettably, we do need to reduce our investment bank workforce as we focus the business.
A U.S. FBI agent arrested in Pakistan for trying to board a flight with bullets and a knife in his luggage has been released on bail. Joel Cox was arrested on Sunday at the airport in Karachi. From Washington, Kate Fisher reports.
Joel Cox was released to the U.S. consulate after paying bail of 1 million rupees, which is $10,000. He'd been remanded in custody after appearing in court on Tuesday on charges of carrying unauthorized ammunition on a civilian flight. The U.S. says he was on a temporary assignment in Pakistan. His equipment, including his laptop, has been sent to a forensic laboratory for testing. The U.S. State Department says Washington is working closely with Pakistan to resolve Cox's arrest.
And police in London have started experimenting with body-worn cameras in the largest trial of the technology ever undertaken. 500 cameras have been distributed to officers patrolling 10 of London's 32 boroughs. Officers will wear the cameras at shoulder level and will be empowered to switch them on to assist in the collection of evidence. And that's the latest from Feature Story News. Rebecca Foster reporting.